Good morning, everyone. As you know, Ben is out of town, so you have me today. Last week, I believe you had Alan, and then the week before you had Alan. Is that right? Or Ben spoke, I don't know. But thank you, Alan, for taking last week. Appreciate it. So, you know, we gather together here. One of the reasons that we gather as a church is to encourage each other in the faith. And by that, today I was hoping to encourage you in the faith because we're going to be just looking a little bit at the parable of the workers in the vineyard from Matthew 21 through 16. And I wanted to touch a little bit upon some of the rewards that are mentioned in the Bible for those who are of the faith. As you know, we have this one mortal life and it's going to end. What happens then? The Bible tells us what happens. So today we were going to talk about something that Jesus said, who was there before time began with the Father. He comes and he becomes a man. And he becomes a man just like you guys and me. And so he's on earth and he gets to tell us about what it's like after we die. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and that's God's kingdom here on earth, right? It's an unseen kingdom. He said the kingdom is within you. It's at hand. He says if you see these things happening, it's at hand. He was doing miracles, showing people that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He was God of the universe, and he could create stuff out of nothing. And he says to you, he gives us parables that are like little stories we can understand so that we can say, this is what he describes, unseen things through these. So here we have a parable that he gave as he's speaking to the people in Matthew 21 through 16. I'll read it here. This is from the Word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on the receiving of it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with that which belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" And so the last will be first, and the first last. All right. So when I was a young person in my preteens and teens, I would read this, and here was my interpretation of this parable as I thought to myself. This parable is the description of someone's life, right? And so some people come to Christ early in life, right? And they work for the kingdom their whole life. And then some people come in to Christ later in life, in different times, and even at the very end. But everyone got the same reward, and that reward was eternal life with Christ, right? So this was my thoughts in my early youth. And so we see here is when, as I come to Christ, I get to know Him through this life. We get richer and deeper in relationship. And then at the end, He gives us all a reward, and we will all rejoice for each other as we all come to Christ in the end. And we have passed on, and we have no longer have a chance to walk in faith with God in this life. So in my mind and in that time, my understanding was it was important not to grumble about what other people received from the Lord, right? Whether you worked your whole life, you got a rich reward, or whether it was at the very end when you came to Christ at that time. We all know that we have loved ones who have resisted the faith their whole life, and we're praying for them, and we desire greatly for them to come to Christ. And then some of those people come right at the end before they pass away, and we are all very happy that we have assurance that they will be with us in eternity, right? Because we are going to be somewhere in eternity. The Bible tells us that death is not the end, it's not oblivion, that it's separation of the body and the soul. The soul is eternal, and we will go and face judgment. All right. So later, when I was a person, and I was working as a military contractor, working on flight simulators for the Army, and we were in Germany, and by God's grace, He got my wife to make me go back to church because I had walked away. And while we were there, we had chaplains. The Army hires chaplains out of the general Protestant population where they get chaplains to come and preach. And so we had the Benjamin Franklin Village Chapel, and we had a number of chaplains that would be our pastors there in the military. And it was very good. My wife got saved there, and she got baptized there in Germany at the military chapel. And so did one of my daughters. So we had the substitute chaplain, who was one that would come in when he was when one of the other chaplains had to go out in the field to be with the soldiers. And so he was there that day, and he preached on this. And one of the things that I never picked up when I was young was what he did. He talked about, and he says at the end of his sermon, he said, "Do you see how the first people that came at 6 a.m. in the morning," and by the way, that was a 12-hour day, so when he's working, those people that come at the 11th hour only worked for a single hour in the field, right? But the people that started at 6 a.m., they had carried the whole weight of the entire day, and so when they grumbled, they were grumbling about, well, how can this guy who only worked for 1 hour get a whole day's pay? And I worked all 12 hours, and I still only get a whole day's pay. Well, he said that one of the things that stands out about the people that were there at 6 a.m. in the morning were that they had made an agreement with the master of the house for a denarius, right? And a denarius was a day's wage in that time. If you were back in time when we were using the old King James Version, they would have called this a penny, right? And that was a day's wage. So here we see this people who are there. They have done something a little bit different than everybody else that came to work. They made an agreement for a denarius a day, and it ends up causing them to grumble. The next people who come at 9 o'clock and at 11, 12, 6, 11th hour, they all just heard this from the Lord. They said, "I will pay you what is right." And so they just simply trusted and were glad that they had to work for that day. And so the thing is that when we set our expectations on what we should receive from God, and we don't get that, it causes your heart to be grumbly, I'd say. And another thing, and so my what I'm trying to get at is that as Christians, let's just trust the Lord. Let's just trust Him that He will do right by us and He will give us what is right. And we can rejoice when we see someone else get more than us, right? It is part of my desire that it's so encouraging. Here I am so old now. I see people coming into the kingdom after me, right? Because their lives started after me. And I see people, and it's really encouraging to see people coming up behind me and to see people that have gone before me go into the rest with the Lord. And so as we look at those people, we don't have any idea all the things they've accomplished for the kingdom, all the people they've ministered to, all of the church that they've loved. But we get to, and I imagine when I get there in heaven and I'm seeing Dylan Davis go up before the King and he's getting a reward, I'm going to be clapping and yelling and screaming and being so happy for him and for Izzy and for Brian and for Jamal. So we come to the Lord and we say, I'm just looking forward to those times. It was interesting to me as I was going through this parable that I was beginning to see the echoes of another parable inside of this, and that was the parable of the prodigal son. Does anybody remember that parable? The young man, he is out there and he decides that he doesn't want to have anything to do with his father, and so he says to his father, "Act like you're dead and give me my inheritance." And the father says, and this loving father says, "Okay, here is whatever you were owed as the younger son, I'm giving it to you now." And so he gets all this money and this wealth, and now he's made it. And so he goes out and he says, "I'm going to have a good time." And so he goes and he gets caught up with these bad people, and then he goes out and he squanders all his wealth that he had gotten from his father after calling him. It was the equivalent to saying, "You've already died, give me my stuff, I'm going." And so he goes out into the world and he squanders all the wealth that he received from his father. And he ends up starving to death. And so he gets a job working as a guy who feeds the pigs for this rich man. And so he's sitting there and he's looking at the corn and the things that, well, I don't think they had corn in the Middle East, do you? Whatever they fed the pigs in the Middle East at that time, he's looking at that and saying, "I wish I could eat that." And he couldn't, because it was the pig's food. And he wasn't allowed to. And so he realizes, "Man, I had so much more when I was at my dad's house. And all of the servants there, and I had everything I wanted, and now I've got nothing. But will he take me back? Will he take me back after I've done this to him?" And so the younger brother, he just makes a decision, "I'm going to try." And so he gets up and he heads back to his house where his dad and the owner of all the property is. And as he's coming, the father sees him coming toward him and he runs to the son and he greets him and he gives him a ring and he puts a robe on him and he says, "Come into the house and let's celebrate, for what was lost has come back." And so here it is. They're having this feast for the younger son, and the older brother comes in from the field and he says, "I never got a feast. I never had this honor. Why is he doing this?" And he grumbles in his heart because the younger son, who squandered all the father's wealth and ran away, and now he's coming back, he gets rewarded. While the older brother has been working all this time and he never received a reward. And what did the father say to him? He said, "You've been with me all this time. Why didn't you ask?" Right? So we see this with the first workers there. They come and they're asking for, they're grumbling because the younger guys who came or the people that came later in life, they get the same reward as he's getting. And so we see an echo of that. I was reading a commentary and this person named A.B. Simpson in his book, Christ in the Bible, he put it like this. "These last laborers worked in simple faith without any agreement at all. Truly, this represents the highest spirit of service, all for love and nothing for reward. This is the idea that we are in a relationship with the Father, and because He loved us first, and His Son died for us, and as we sang in the song, who would die for our redemption? And who would rise again from the dead so that we will be raised from the dead as well? That was Jesus Christ, right? And that's the love our Father has bestowed upon us before the beginning of the world. And so He says, anyone who will just recognize Jesus as my Son, who died to cover your sins with His own blood and rose again, can be in my kingdom if you will serve Him and love Him, right? So we get to enter a relationship with God because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And so as we are there, we get to have this time, and we get to, in this life, have those feasts with the Lord. Sometimes we get together and worship, and that's when it happens. Other times the Lord just hits you out of the blue with things, and anyway, walking with God through life, you find those times of relationship with Him that are like what the other older brother was complaining about. But the older brother was locked into the law and working and doing hard for the kingdom, right? All right, so I've talked about that long enough. So we all get to rejoice that the Lord is coming. So He says that the laborers went into the vineyard. So what's the vineyard? As Matthew Henry in his commentary said, the vineyard was us, the church. And you may remember Jesus said, there's this theme, I'm the vine and you are the branches, right? And the idea is that that's a grapevine. So we see that in there. But Jesus also said that we are to go into the world, right? In Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what was Jesus' commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And He said, take communion and get baptized. So here we are. And so these are the commandments the Lord has given us. At least that's a very simple breakdown. Okay. And so the vineyard is what the Lord leads you to do while you're here on earth. Whether it's loving one another. How many times did Jesus say, I think, Alan, do you remember how many times it says love one another in the New Testament? It's like 100 and something. Ben had the exact numbers when he preached about it 6 months ago, but I forgot them. It was over 100. So one of the things He commanded us to do is love one another, especially the brothers in the faith and the sisters in the faith. So here we are. And hopefully when you come to this place, you find a spirit of love. Yesterday we got to love Izzy and Brian because they needed help. And that was an act of love. Why should we help somebody? Well, one of the reasons is because they're part of our family of faith. And so that's where we are doing those things that the Lord is asking us to do. All right. Another idea in here is that the laborers receive their reward at the end of the day. Right? So what would happen if the laborer left the field before the end of the day came? They might not get paid. Right? And so here we are, we see this idea, and there's a theme in the scriptures called the perseverance of the saints. And so in Jesus, we're going to look at it in a minute, but He encourages, and we see this over and over, don't lose the faith. Keep the faith to the end. Paul is often talking about how I am working hard, I am running the race so that I may receive a crown at the end of the race. And he describes, you know, uses a, I guess you could say, a parable or analogy of sports, right? And I'm in a race, and I'm running, and I want to receive the prize. And so forgetting everything that I did before, all, this is interesting, this is a rabbit trail. Are you ready? Okay. So Paul says, I forget everything I did before, right? So that I can press on towards the prize. And some people interpret that as, well, no matter what happened to me, however bad it was, I just need to forget that and press on. And then, but when Paul is, the context of that scripture is, hey, I did all these great things. I can now go and just sit there and look at all the glory of the works that I did. He said, that's what he's really talking about. He said, all the good things I did, I just forget them. I'm going to do more good things until the end. And so it's an encouragement that we have from the scriptures to not drop the faith or lose the faith or have the faith stolen from you before you make it to be with the Lord. So even when you're in dire straits, don't give up on the Lord. It may seem like things are bad, but you have a hope that is beyond this life in Christ. And so that's one of the things we're doing here today is encouraging each other in the faith so that you don't give up before the end. And that's why we get together. All right. So since I said this was about rewards, I thought I would go and pick out some scriptures about rewards. And here on page 3 of your notes, I'm just going to read them. These are the churches that were that Jesus came to John on the Isle of Patmos. You might remember John was one of the disciples with Jesus, whom Jesus loved. And if you recall, everyone that was one of his close disciples was executed by the government in some form or fashion somewhere in the world. So in this case, John, they tried to execute him. The Roman government, our Catholic brothers and sisters, they have the documents that say that John was boiled in oil twice as execution, but he didn't die. And so after failing that, they exiled him to this island, and it was called Patmos, okay? And so on Patmos, he's there praying, and suddenly this very scary being appears to him. He falls down as dead because he's so afraid, and it turns out to be Jesus. And this is the guy who he leaned on his breast at the Passover, right? And so here he is, and he's there, and he's just scary because he's so radiant and mighty. And we will all probably have that experience in the future as well when we see the might and the glory of our God in a way we can understand. So when he appears, he tells John, I want you to write some letters to the churches in the different cities on the earth. And so he dictates these letters to John. And so there's a letter to the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And so these letters that he has, at the end, he does this thing where he tells them, if you hold on, if you conquer, then I will give you. And so I'm going to read those. Since I said there would be rewards. This, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is to the church of Ephesus. To the one who conquers, I will grant him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You might remember there was a tree in the Garden of Eden, which was that tree, and now it will be available again for those who conquer. Anyway, going on to the church of Smyrna, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. I just remind you, the second death is when we go to judgment, and the Lord makes us account for every idle word, and everything we have ever done will be brought up to be judged. And all of us will have failed that test, right? But for those who Jesus has covered their sins, they will not fail the test. And their names will be written in the book of life. And it says, everyone whose name who was written in the book of life got to be with Jesus for eternity. He's going to mention that in one of these letters. But everyone else was cast into the lake of fire. All right. And in this one, to the church of Smyrna, you see there's a crown. right here. It says, I will give you the crown of life. Now, my grandfather was a Methodist, and Susan's grandparents were Methodists, but my parents were Baptist. And so there's a lot of interchange between the Methodist and Baptist church in the South. And my grandfather was in West Virginia, and the Methodist church was up here on the hill, and the Baptist church was down here. And he used to joke and tell my mom this joke. He would say, while the Baptists are down there singing, will there be any jewels in my crown? The Methodists are up there singing, no, not one. Anyway, that's just a interdenominational joke from the Methodist side. Okay. But, and we do know that it says that in Revelation 4, the 24 elders got up and they worshiped God. They fell down and they threw their crowns at his feet. That's in Revelation 4:10. But the idea is that I got these prizes, but it's all because of you, Lord. All right. So, Church of Pergamum. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. To the church of Thyatira, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the church of Sardis. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the church of Philadelphia. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that you may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in my temple, in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out from it. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the church of Laodicea, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so, here in this last one, you get to see this. He says, I stand at the door and knock. This is where we get that verse. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. And this is like a picture of intimacy with the Creator God of the universe, that we get to know through his Son, because we can only know God who's outside of the universe if he reveals himself to us, and he chose to do that through the creation we live in and through the living letter, Jesus Christ, who came and showed us what God was like. So here we are, and what my conclusion is for this sermon. Your greatest reward, and the only reward worth having, will be that relationship with God, that he knows you and confesses you to his Father and to the angels. All judgment was given to Jesus because he has the credentials to judge us, because he, a God who created the universe, came down to be one of us and knows what it's like. So God the Father has given God the Son the mantle of judge, and he is the one who will be judging. So the greatest thing, when we're standing there on that final day And Jesus is separating the sheep from the goats. And you can see that on the final page 4 there, the final judgment. And we're going to be sitting there going, the only thing I really want is that you know me and I know you, right? That is going to be the prize. And the reward will be Jesus himself. In Revelation 20, I think it was in 21, it says, and the new Jerusalem will be there. And there will be no need for the sun, because God will be the light of the city and Jesus will be the lamp. So it's hard for us to understand a God outside the universe who is three persons in one. But that's who we worship when we come here. If I worship and I pray to Jesus, I am praying to the Father. If I pray to the Father, I pray to Jesus. They are one. Okay, one God. Three persons. Hard to explain. However, today if the Lord is calling you, if the praise team would come up, we're about to have our last worship song. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, have never had him say, I wash you of your sins, by your faith in me, I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and you will be before me as white without sin. If you've never had that, today there will be someone up here to pray with you and to hear your confession of faith.